This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The ethanol industry says in a new study that more than 80% of new 2017 model year vehicles come with explicit manufacturer approval to use 15% ethanol blends. The Renewable Fuels Association says its own review of carmaker warranty statements and owner's manuals show more than 4 out of 5 new vehicles are approved for E15 use, and that's up 10% from 2016. Hyundai Motor Company has now joined Chrysler, GM, Ford, Honda, Toyota, Volkswagen, and the maker of Land Rover and Jaguar in building E15 compatible vehicles. Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Bob Dineen recently pointed to the rapid expansion of E15 use as a reason the EPA just approved a more robust renewable fuel standard.
There was increased gasoline demand, that there was increased infrastructure that would allow higher level blends to be sold, that there was increased consumer demand for those fuels.
In 2012, the EPA approved use in model year 2001 or later vehicles, though manufacturers didn't retroactively endorse use of the blend in vehicles already on the road. Growth Energy's Tom Buis says the EPA recognizes the growing vehicle demand for E15 and sees no negative impacts from raising the renewable fuel standard volumes.
The sky didn't fall. We saw more blending, a higher blend. No problems with vehicles. Consumers enjoyed savings in a cleaner fuel.
More than a quarter of the 230 million vehicles on the road today are automaker approved to use E15, and some 90% of those built in 2001 or later are legally approved for E15. In other news this morning, we're going to have another conversation about cover crops, but this time it's about a new practice, and that's called interseeding cover crops with corn. According to crop consultant Dan Towery, the practice is still going through a trial phase, but farmers are having some success. Dan has been working with farmers in several different areas, and we had a chance to talk some details about the new practice.
Well, originally from Illinois, up Havana way, currently residing over in Indiana and West Lafayette, but do a lot of work Indiana, Illinois, primarily a little bit in Iowa and Ohio, basically around the area of cover crops and no-till and soil health.
And we're at a cover crop field day today being sponsored by the Macoupin County Farm Bureau and Soil and Water. And one topic that you spoke on was crimson clover as a cover crop and using that in corn. And as I understand, this is a new concept, so maybe fill us in on some of the work that is being done with that right now and the ideas behind it.
Yeah, actually, it's what we call interseeding. So this is seeding a cover crop when the corn is between V4 and V7, so about knee-high. It goes against everything that we've been taught to have something green out there with the corn at that stage. So we have to modify the residual herbicide program, just very short residuals. Actually, we're using crimson clover as well as things like annual ryegrass, hairy vetch, radishes. So there's quite a few cover crops. But again, they need to be shade tolerant. And so far, this is, again, experimental. It's work in progress. I've been going up to Quebec, and they've been doing it up there for 6 years now, and the acres keep growing. The preliminary conclusions is that it will work. You get the very short residual herbicides put down, seed between, again, that when the corn is about knee-high. And we've got guys who have modified the side dress applicator, put an air seeder on it, all kinds of different ways. It seems as though one of the requirements is that it get some light to stay alive, where the corn has high population, very tall, too much shade for an extended period of time in August, and we lose the stand. But we've had guys do it in seed corn and popcorn using a flexier hybrid. We want to experiment with upright leaf. So, again, it's like anything. It needs to be used in the proper situation, and that's what we're in the process of trying to figure out.
So you said interseeding, it's going against everything we've ever known, because like you said, usually you want that crop to be the only thing that's growing in the field at that time. So why try this? What are the thoughts of the benefits that it could provide?
Well, the biggest issue is, and this year's a perfect example, harvest was late. In many cases, crops just wouldn't dry down. If you were going to plant a cover crop, you know, depending on what cover crop you select, the timing needs to be right, especially if you're going with a radish, a legume, something like that. So this is, especially if we can combine it with another trip that we're already doing, like side dressing, then we're combining operations and having the cover crop seeded, come in and harvest the corn, and that's it. You're done. Got the cover crop growing. Hopefully it will grow through the fall, on into next spring, and ready for the next crop.
You said this is experimental, so still trials being done. Any of those being done here close to Illinois?
Yeah, in the northern part. I'm working with some guys up west of Chicago. Actually, against my recommendation, did 600 acres. And it was very dry in June, and report came back, it's a bust. It didn't come up. Well, then they got rain about, I don't know, June 22nd or so, and they called back, hey, we got to stand after all. So, you know, it's one of those things, and it turned out very well for them.
Anything that I failed to ask about Crimson Clover, the experiments that are going on, or anything else about cover crops that you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, it's just, you know, the whole idea of using cover crops, it's actually an old practice, but I think some of the ways we're using it, the techniques, the equipment to apply it are new. You know, I got to relate a story, though, about the interseeding. Actually, I was looking through an ag historical book, and it had a picture out of the mid-40s, and they were with the horses doing the last cultivation in the corn. And guess what they were doing? They were seeding a legume behind them. So it's really kind of different parameters, but it was actually adapting an old technique to new efforts.
And once again, that was Dan Towery, who's a crop consultant from Western Indiana. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.